Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars. Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast as we roll into November. It's November 1st. We are talking hockey again tonight. Blake Friars joins me, Brad Brood, for another hour of, actually, Blake, another hour and 7 minutes. It always ends at that. I don't know why. We don't plan that. It just does. Oh, hockey talk, and we got a lot of things to talk about as we wrap summer up and head in to winter. It was cold today, Blake. We got a little bit of snow today.
I mean, wrap up fall, head into winter.
Oh, yeah. Summer. I said summer. We skipped. We freaking skipped it this year. We went from, like, 70 degrees to 35. It's all right.
Yeah, there's not really fall, other than the leaves falling off. So that's about it.
Yeah, that's about it. I got to golf last Thursday. Crazy. Last round of the year. Of course, it was my best round of the year, so that just gets me excited for next year already, which sucks. Halloween last night, did you, what did you do, Blake? Did you do anything for Halloween? Do you do anything for Halloween?
Night before, so Saturday night, we went to a staff party. Pretty fun. Just all the guys around the table just shooting the shit about hockey.
That's good times. That's good times.
I love to do. So, yeah, just go around shooting the shit. But, I think Michelle said we got 150 trick-or-treaters.
Holy cow. Wow. I took my little girl.
It must be in a wild subdivision.
You got one there. I took my little group, my youngest and my three last night for a little bit, not too far. She doesn't want to go too far, but, man, people were just handing out candy left and right and came home and got them settled in and watched a little football, and I started to watch a little baseball, but, God, those games take forever, man. Jeez. It was like 8:30 at night, and they were in the third inning. It's like, oh my God! Of course, I did stay up and watch the last few innings.
Yeah, I forgot you're 2 hours ahead of me. Yeah,
I mean, those games just last.
That's why I love living on the West Coast. Everything starts early and it ends at a decent.
See, I don't. We talked about that.
The Canucks are on at 7.
I like it later at night, like, but I have kids.
Kids.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, but it's got its good. It's got its good and its bad.
Is what it is.
Good news this week. Yeah. A guy I've watched play hockey since he was about 4 years old. Played his first NHL game, and that was John Lizotte from my hometown. Got called up to the Minnesota Wild and played against Seattle in Seattle. And he had 14 minutes of ice time and found his way to the penalty box once, which was something that John frequently does, but a good showing in his first NHL game, and it's fun to see kids who work through the youth program into the high school program to junior hockey in my hometown, and then college hockey at St. Cloud State University.
You're talking about John Lizotte, right?
Yep.
Your mic cut out a little bit. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, good to see him. Get, a lot of ice time for your first game, and he did fine. So that was good. Mm-hmm. Calder hopeful Cole Caulfield gets sent to AHL Laval. Did that surprise you today?
Honestly, Brad, I haven't had a lot of time to watch hockey on the weekends. I try to get most of my hockey watched during the weekdays because obviously –
You're working.
I'm working in the weekends. We play almost every weekend. So, like, a lot of the times I don't get a chance to really watch on the weekend. But, I mean, I haven't really got a chance to watch Montreal. But I didn't realize that he only had 1 point in 10 games. I mean,
well, and I don't
know. A bit of a wake-up call maybe. But, I mean, Montreal doesn't really have much to work with right now.
It's either a wake-up call for him or it's seriously, like, that organization saying – it's not going to happen this year. I don't know. Are they throwing in the towel this year already? I don't know. No Weber, no Price. I mean, their centers are bad.
I don't know what to think. Like, you lost your number one defensive center. You lost your heart and soul on the back end. You lost Carey Price.
Yeah.
What did fans really expect to happen?
And let's face it, like we talked about it last year a lot, as exciting as it was to see them go on a run like that, like probably, you know, like one of those Calgary 04 runs where it's like, this team isn't that good. They're just hot at the right time, like, you know?
It was like Edmonton Oilers 06 run.
Same as 04 for Calgary. They weren't good a hockey team all year. Either was Edmonton in 06. And they got hot at the right time.
They were carried by, well, what all three of those have in common is Mika Kiprusoff, Dwayne Rolison, and Carey Price.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
They had goalies that were flat out carrying the ship, you know? And
yeah.
I don't know. I guess I'm not really surprised that Montreal's, you know, struggling so much this year. You had them finishing sixth in the division, and I had them finishing fifth. I had them higher than you, so that tells you what I know, huh?
Yeah.
All right, we got a jam-packed show. We're going to get it going right away. We're going to talk a little bit to start it off on the Blackhawks scandal, go into the cap crunches. Teams keep signing guys for huge-ass dollars. I have no idea how they're going to get these fit in the cap and what's going to happen. We'll go around the league and talk Binnington, Weber, and Blake and I will talk a little bit about our favorite teams as they start 10 games in. All right, Blake. You know, let's preface this with last week wasn't a real fun week to not watch hockey was fine, but just the news on a daily basis was depressing. I don't even know how else you'd describe it besides sad, depressing. I mean, just one thing after another, after another, and after another, but I guess to preface the short conversation we have on this, I feel horrible for what happened to Kyle Beach and all the victims and probably more than we know. That's probably the really sad thing. I still feel bad for Sheldon Kennedy and Theron Fleury and most of all, I guess everybody in life that has to deal with situations as difficult as that. It's not just the hockey world, it's in life. And I think it's not just the hockey world needs to wake up, which they do, but I think the world needs to wake up and be more accepting to being open about it, I guess. I don't and also to punish the people. Because it's awful. And I don't mean, it surfaced in the NHL again this week. And it's not just an NHL problem. It's in all walks of life, unfortunately. And I feel horrible for Kyle Beach and all the victims. So, I mean, that being said, let's talk about what happened. And not about what happened, but what the recourse is of what happened. I'm a little confused, and maybe you can fill me in on some of the holes that I'm having on this. There's been, I had heard of an investigation a while back. Did you?
Vaguely.
Me too, but it was very vaguely. Like, I didn't even, when I heard about it, I didn't put a whole hell of a lot of stake into it. I just didn't expect something that, I don't even know what the word I'm trying to think of is, but I guess that devastating. You know what I mean? I'm a little confused why, if there was an investigation, it took 11 years to come out. That's confusing to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was Blackhawks ownership being quiet, or if that was Kyle Beach and the other victims being quiet. I don't know. But I don't know why this stuff keeps coming 10 years later. I think that makes... I guess there's no timeline on when you want to talk about it, I guess. I would probably be the best answer for that. But it doesn't make the problem easier. It makes it worse. The investigation was released. I was surprised. I think... Don't you think the whole hockey world is surprised?
I mean, in a sense, it was... I didn't think that Kyle Beach would come out as John Doe the day after it got released. That was...
I thought that was good, though.
It was good. The interview was super tough to watch. Very raw, very emotional, very sad that a player had to live with that for 10 years and just hearing.
Well, he doesn't have to live with it for 10 years. He's going to have to live with it the rest of his life.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, he just came public, like, just now. So he had to live with that for 10 years without the public knowing. So, like I said, it's sad. It's, I don't really know what to say about it because I don't really know all the information. I didn't read the 150-page report. I don't know all the info on it.
And I don't either. I don't know all the ins and outs. I do know.
There's a lot of stuff that is crazy to think went on in a NHL management, and you would think that one of the best leagues in the world, something like that wouldn't happen. But it just goes to show you that people will do whatever it takes to win, and sometimes people take it a little too far. I don't know.
I don't look at it as that. I don't. I look at it as what happened. And I think one of the things that's I guess I'll get right to the heart of this. The thing that's bothered me the most of this is the fact that if I put up a picture of Brad Eldridge, the guy who perpetrated all this, the guy who did this, 90% of the hockey world wouldn't recognize him. Isn't that the guy we should be plastering all over the media? Isn't that the guy we should be going after? And I'm not saying that these other people are innocent. I'm not at all saying that. But aren't we focusing our anger? Because I think the hockey world and society as a whole gets angry when things like this happen. I know I was. Because, number one, I don't like a black eye on the sport. And this is a freaking black eye on the sport. And I know when I read Theo Fleury's book, I was mad at Graham James. I go through and I scan all the media sites. Yet to see a picture of Brad Eldridge on any of them. I've yet to see anger directed towards him. Now, I'm not saying that some of the anger shouldn't be directed at the Blackhawks and at Bowman, Stan Bowman, because he dropped the ball. Mm-hmm. He chose to drop the ball. And he should pay the price. And he is. He won't be in hockey anymore, which is probably a pretty stiff penalty. But it was on his watch. He was the leader.
I mean, he got to stay in the league 11 years after it happened, though, so he didn't get punished. So,
well, he is now.
Yeah, and I mean,
and
you let stuff like that happen under your watch. I mean, you go kill a guy, you got to go to prison.
We're gonna get to that. I got an example for you later that kind of makes me feel a little weird. As for Joel Quenneville, I know me and you disagree on this, and I'm not saying he shouldn't be punished. I think he should be punished because you know what? He was in the room too, and he was part of that upper management who chose to just be like, hey, let's hold off on this. Probably something he's going to regret till the day he dies. I don't know Joel Quenneville. Everything I've heard and everybody I know is surprised that he did, that he made that poor choice.
Well, Joe Quenneville is a legend in Chicago too, and I mean, him doing this might ruin his whole legacy.
But I don't know how firing him 12 years later helps stop sexual abuse problems. I don't understand that.
The NHL didn't really have a choice. Everybody in the upper management, other than Cheveldayoff, got fired.
What is upper management?
Every single one of them. The president, John McDonough.
Yep, and it stops at the GM, because nobody below the GM's upper management in hockey.
Well, or the people that were in that meeting got fired, except Cheveldayoff.
So let's flip the switch here a little bit, and let's focus a little bit on the players that it's come out that they all knew. And that there was actually some harassment of Kyle Beach. Nothing happens to the players. I'm confused. I just said 2 seconds ago that, you know, kicking Quenneville out isn't going to stop sexual abuse, and I don't think it would if you kick the players out either. But I wonder how the players, why it's morally okay for them to not say anything, but it's not for coaches. And I think we've seen that a lot, though, in sports, haven't we? We've seen a lot of, not just hockey, in all kinds of sports. Sports athletes are immune from getting in trouble.
I just think that, I mean, you saw some players get interviewed, and, I mean, Taze said that he knew the training camp after it happened, and so that's 9 years in itself, 10 years in itself. I mean, I think now that this has came out, players don't really know what to say. I mean, it's not something that's comfortable to talk about.
No, it's not.
It's, like I said, it's just super unfortunate that this is still happening. After, I mean, you saw Graham James and other predators in the sports world, and we're in 2021, and, I mean, this stuff still goes on to this day. Mm-hmm. I mean, you would think that something like this would never happen in a professional sports team in 2010. You'd think that we'd have some awareness and stuff in place. So I think, like, if you're the NHL, you got to put something in place that
it won't stop it.
Players and with the PA, and if a player comes forward and says this stuff's happened to me, it's got to be taken seriously.
Couldn't agree more.
And not swept under the rug, even if you're in the middle of a third round of a playoff series and you haven't won the Stanley Cup in 51 years, it doesn't matter. I mean, all this would have been prevented if you just did the right thing.
If he'd have just fired him that day, it would have been fine.
And it's a video coach. It's not like it's the head coach. Like, you can go get it. There's thousands of video coaches out there.
One thing that confuses me.
I just don't understand, like, that.
Yeah,
if you just do the right thing, like, none of this would have happened.
You know, I will make a point, though, and I'm not trying to defend Joel Quenneville, because by no means is he, like, innocent in this. But Joel Quenneville made a mistake, right? Now, he wasn't doing the actions, like, I mean, Joel Quenneville was not doing what Brad Eldridge was doing. Joel Quenneville made a poor judgment call on that day to not push that further with his superior, right? Bad choice, right? Danny Heatley made the choice to drive drunk, killing his teammate. Danny Heatley made a mistake. Joel Quenneville made a mistake. Danny Heatley played in the league.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I'm not minimizing what happened. I'm just saying,
mistakes are mistakes, right?
But why is it when a player makes a mistake, he gets a second chance, but when a coach makes a mistake, crucified, gone forever? Ask Bill Peters. Rocky Wirtz sent a message in saying that he wants Aldrich's name off the cup or X'd out. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, does Stan Bowman get his name off? Does Quenneville get his name off?
I think if I was in charge of the Hockey Hall of Fame, I would say that we're going to X his name or remove his name. I don't know which one I feel like on that. But everybody else stays because they didn't do the act.
You covered it up, though.
Big time difference. I never see anybody go to jail for...
Two wrongs don't make a right, though. You're both in the wrong.
Oh, Blake, a little bit different.
Yeah, sure.
I just threw that. I threw it out to you today. So if you and your buddy are out drinking at the bar on Saturday night, and your buddy says I'm leaving, and he's hammered, and you say no, don't leave, and he leaves, and you don't call the cops, and he gets into an accident, should you get charged?
It's his choice.
Well, there you go. It was Dan Bowman's choice to make the call, not Joel Quenneville's.
I mean,
Blake, I'm serious. There's a whole lot of difference between making a poor judgment call and being a sexual predator. There's a big difference.
Okay, well, the thing is, the coach knows the players more than anybody.
He does.
And that's the bottom line.
Yeah. But it's the general's manager's call to go to take that to the league further.
All right.
I'm just saying that, like, it's the same thing, you know. It's the same thing. And we're living in a culture now where it's just fire him. Firing people doesn't make the problem go away. Let's figure out why that we have people that are sexual predators in our world and in our game. And handle them with severe consequences. I just don't understand, I guess, this whole thing that's frustrated me the most is I don't understand why nobody's talking about the guy that frickin' did it. He's like, he's in jail. He's getting off scot-free. The guy should be in jail for the rest of his life and should be crucified in the media. And he's not. We're crucifying everybody around him that we're also in the wrong, but not into the wrong to the level of him. It just, to me, doesn't make sense. And now we're going to have part two of this because now Bill Guerin's being accused of sexual assault allegations.
That was a long time ago, was it not?
Just came out again today that the U.S. Olympic team, he has not been acquitted of it. He has not been cleared, and they're not letting him be GM right now because of it.
Didn't see that.
Until it gets cleared up or whatever. But it's just too bad. I wish the guy that actually did this was the guy that was getting crucified. And I kind of wish maybe the players were held a little bit more accountable because as much as I love the players and that's who we cheer for.
Okay, I'll give you an example.
Yep.
Houston Astros shooting scandal.
Yep. A lot of those players should have been in trouble too.
What players got suspended? Zero.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's not right. I don't know.
All the time.
I know. Why, though? I was talking to one of my buddies about it today, and he's like, well, unless the only way a player gets in trouble is if it's on video. Like if he's beating his wife in the elevator, if it's on video. If it's not on video, you're freaking good to go. And you know what? Yeah. Joel Quenneville was wrong. Stan Bowman was wrong. All the players on the team that knew about it were wrong. The list goes on and on and on. The equipment manager, everybody. I mean, everybody has blood on their hands on this. You know, that's my part. All right. Enough of the negative. Let's get on to I don't know if this is a good conversation either. We're going to talk about how teams are going to get themselves out of cap crunch. Because Morgan Rielly signs 8 years, $7.5 million with the Leafs. And when I saw this, I thought, how in God's green earth is Toronto going to make this work? They have five players now that will account for 58.9% of their salary cap next year. Five players account for 58.9%.
Yep.
And this contract has a full no-move clause that kicks in immediately and covers the entirety of the eight-year extension. So he got technically a full move clause for 9 years because this contract doesn't start for next year.
Yep. No, it's not every year, though.
It's a 10-team in the final 2 years. So he's got 7 years before he has a 10-team move clause.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I don't know how they're gonna do it.
Is this like further proof that like Dubas is like – I got to win this year or I'm fired.
This is almost like Peter Chiarelli signing Nico Koskinen and then getting fired. Like, why let the guy do it? You know?
Oh my God! When I saw that contract, I was
don't
like,
mind. I like the term. You get him for 8 years. I mean, the dollar isn't too bad.
But it's bad if you look at the quantity of dollars they already have. That's where I'm getting at.
I'm just I'm trying to see here. So you got, I mean, Campbell's got to get paid next year. How much cap do they have next year? They got $6.2 million of cap to sign two defensemen and a goalie, and round out your depth.
And each depth is going to be $800,000, right?
Like I said, good luck.
How does that happen?
This team's got to win now. I don't know, man. It's going to be really interesting.
You know, they were talking today about how Vegas is making a big push for Eichel. And I'm sitting here looking. I'm like, okay, Vegas has no cap space right now, and they have $5.7 million on LTIR. And I'm like, well,
no, more now.
Well, when they will have more, yeah, they will have more.
But Carlson's about to go on there too.
I'm thinking, like, okay, so now they're gonna trade for Jack Eichel. Like, how is that even possible? And I heard they were talking about having Arizona eat some of them, but what would they have to give to have Arizona?
Well, Evgeny Dadonov would probably go back in the deal.
No, I know, but how many number one picks are you going to have for Arizona to take on money? Arizona doesn't want money at all right now.
No, they'll probably take a couple mid-round picks to eat a couple million dollars.
Yeah, but Arizona doesn't even have the money to do it, though, now. Like, I mean, yes, they have the cap space to do it, but that organization's in big, big, big trouble outside of this.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens, though. I mean, I think Eichel's on his way to Calgary.
You do think he's going to go to Calgary, huh?
Yeah, in a deal centered around Sean Monahan.
So you think Monahan? What would it be if it went to Calgary? Because it sounds like it's down to Calgary and Vegas. And I just don't know how Vegas does that. I don't know how Calgary does it.
Sean Monahan, a first-round pick, and
I don't think the ask is going to be as high as what Buffalo thinks.
Maybe Valimaki?
Yeah. I wouldn't give more than that.
First and Valimaki. I mean, that's
a first Monahan and Valimaki.
Or maybe give him a second, and they instead of a first, they get like a third and Dylan Dubé, maybe.
No, they won't get rid of Dubé. I don't think.
I mean, like keep your pit first.
No, I don't think they do that.
I mean, you're getting Jack Eichel, though.
Yeah, but we're getting Jack Eichel with a broken neck.
Okay, then you still get it for the next 5 years.
I think you do Monahan.
The biggest hurdle.
I think you're probably right on Valimaki.
The biggest hurdle that Calgary has is Sean Monahan's not going to waive to go to fucking Buffalo.
You're right.
That's the hurdle. That's the hurdle that's holding up this deal.
You're right.
So
why would he?
You go. Why would Sean Monahan agree to go to Buffalo to make Calgary a better team?
No.
I would be like, fuck that. You gave me no move clause for a reason. So like, okay, we go down the list. Would you trade Matthew Tkachuk in a deal for Eichel?
No.
Just talking about guys' salary. Just talking about guys' salary.
I would do a Tkachuk Eichel straight up.
Okay. So
wouldn't put anything with it though.
Again. Lindholm, probably not going to move him.
No.
Coleman's got a no move clause.
Wouldn't move him anyways.
No move.
I'd move
Backlund, no move. Monahan no move, Johnny Gaudreau no move. So, in a sense, you guys are like the Leafs. All your guys have no move clause. So, if you want to make a trade, you can't really do anything because you're really handcuffed in your no move clause.
Yeah. And I'm not even saying a move right now would be the best for the team. I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying you actually think you're the one that said they'd probably go to Calgary. What I was thinking.
Yeah, and you, like, I mean, Calgary's 6-1. They're getting carried by Jacob Markstrom, and Sean Monahan's not really doing anything right now.
Not getting carried by Jacob Markstrom.
Pardon me?
We're getting scoring too. We're not winning 1-0, dude. We're winning 4-0.
Hold on. Pardon me?
Jacob Markstrom.
Three straight shutouts.
Jacob Markstrom. But we're not scoring one goal. We're getting good offense, too.
Okay.
But last week we had.
Goaltender's been playing lights out.
And we put in our other goalie in one, too. Twice.
Okay. By two goals.
Blake. We had two guys. I think right now we have two guys in the top 10 in scoring.
That's great.
I mean, great. Well, we're going to get to that conversation here in a little bit.
Jacob Markstrom is playing out of his damn mind right now.
He's being.
He's a 1.33 goals against average.
He's playing like he's paid.
Well, he's not hurt like last year.
Adam Fox signs a 7-year, 9.5 AAV extension with the Rangers, and boy, I don't know how the Rangers are going to afford the cap.
Yeah, we were talking about that a couple weeks ago. They got to sign Fox.
Is that higher than what you thought?
Not for that many years. It's about fair. It's pretty fair value.
Is that the same as Makar signed?
It's this. Makar got one extra year.
He did. He got 8 years at 9.5, excuse me.
9.5, yeah. So, let me see. Next year, what do they got to do next year? They got to re-sign Gorgiev if they want. Ryan Strome's a free agent. That'll be interesting contract negotiation. Sammy Blais, he won't cost too much.
Oh, I love
Capo
that guy.
Capo Caco's going to be an interesting case.
They won't re-sign him. They won't give him very much. Well, he hasn't earned
it. He's an RFA.
Yeah.
Alexi Lafreniere, a couple years left. They don't got to do much, but they don't got much wiggle room either. They only got, I guess they got 10.6 of cap. So,
yeah. That goes quick.
They'll be all right.
Goes quick.
Yeah, you got Zibanejad's 8.5 kicking in next year, and then 9.5 for Fox kicking in next year. So,
lot of money to kick in. All right. Time to go around the NHL. All right, a few things to talk about. Not as much to talk around the NHL this week because it seemed like everything focused around the Blackhawks this week and all the news. But did you see Binnington go crazy and swing a stick at Kadri?
Yeah, that guy's crazy. He's a psychopath.
What is going on? Is it that he's so like overly stressed to keep up his play that when he won his cup or what? This guy is he goes crazy out there.
I don't know. It's very interesting. Goalies are weird. I was a goalie. Weirdos, but.
Do you remember ever swinging your stick, though? And I like a little fire in a goalie, but this guy's kind
of. Yeah, there's a couple of times I'm really not too proud of what I do with my stick sometimes in net, but.
Players have it coming, though, don't they?
I mean, especially a guy like Kadri, dirty. Maybe it wouldn't be a bad thing if he got one in the teeth.
Maybe it'd change him a little bit, huh? I don't know. It just kind of caught me off guard. I watched it, and I was like, what is going on here? Like, this guy's just losing his mind.
Kemper wanted to go, though. He was at the red line waiting.
I know. Kemper's probably pissed at how he's been playing. I thought Kemper would be a whole hell of a lot better than he is. But it takes time, though. That stuff doesn't happen overnight. You know, you just goalies go through struggles, man. They all do. Shea Weber, you know, me and you have talked about it numerous times, and we fear that, you know, he's probably at the retirement point, but Drouin kind of let it slip out this week that he's basically retired. He won't come back for us. You move on. Hockey's over for him. Did that surprise you? And
no, it didn't surprise me at all. I mean, the guy's body's just done. I mean,
but no,
he's put a lot of miles on the tires, and he's at the end of the road, and now he's just going to go on LTIR and ride off into the sunset. He's not going to screw over Nashville. He's not going to do it.
But he'll wait a second, LTIR though. At what time, though? Okay, because if he was to retire, Nashville's
on the hook for like
7.857 until 2025-26.
Yeah. No, in like 2026, it's like a $24 million cap hit.
It says right here.
Goes up each year.
No, I'm reading the thing here. It says if Weber was officially to retire from the NHL instead of being on long-term injured reserve, like he is now, the Nashville Predators, the team that signed Weber to a 14-year contract back in 2012, would face a cap charge for the next five seasons. Weber holds a 7.857 until, okay, but according to Puckpedia, over the summer, the recapture penalties would be $6.1 million per season for 4 years to Nashville and adjust over $200,000 and just over $200,000 for the Canadians.
Which is actually kind of bullshit because I think that Philadelphia should have that. They're the ones that offered him the deal.
He never played for Philadelphia. They're not taking the recapture.
Nashville had to match it, though.
So? They didn't have to match it?
They had no choice, though.
They didn't have to, though. This is nothing. Blake, there is no way this can go back on the Flyers.
You are not letting your captain walk for nothing.
So you signed him. So you have to take on that responsibility of that contract.
It's just such a bullshit offer sheet. I remember seeing that. I was like, what the fuck? What is this? Like, what are they doing?
It worked amazingly, though, didn't it?
For who?
It put teams in a rock and a hard place, right? Isn't that what sheets do?
How many offer sheets have been successful other than Kotkaniemi's? Calgary tried to offsheet Ryan O'Reilly. Wasn't successful. Edmonton tried to offsheet Thomas Vanek. Wasn't successful.
I'll tell you one that was successful.
Anaheim offsheeted Dustin Penner. And Edmonton said, thank you for your four first-round picks.
Absolutely. So it was successful for Edmonton.
Okay.
It was successful for Edmonton.
That the team that offsheets the player gets that.
Did I ever tell you that I played on the same summer senior men's hockey team as Dustin Penner?
In the Botno College?
Yeah. And he played summer hockey in Minot. He's a nice guy. All right. Let's talk about our favorite teams. What's going on? I had your Canucks finishing third, and then they still may. I mean, we're only nine games in. We're nine games in for Vancouver. They sit with 7 points. They've lost three in a row. What surprises me about this team is they're not scoring. Pettersson looks non-existent out there. The power play, JT Miller, I believe, has one goal. Am I wrong or right? Right there, like one goal.
He's got 9 points, though.
Okay, so Connor Garland has no points, no goals at home. This team's really, and there is a good sign though. Your goaltending has been good. Both your guys have good save percentages, and honestly, your goaltending hasn't been any problem at all. It's just that a team that I thought was going to be very offensive heavy this year is not at all.
Yeah, they got some guys that they miss Brian Sutter a lot in the penalty kill. He's their only right hand centerman. They miss Tyler Motte in the penalty kill. They're getting scored on a lot in the penalty kill. That's something that they must clean up if they want to win some more hockey games. Your best players got to start being your best players. I guess that's what happens when you miss camp and miss training camp and fucking
And missed 30 games last year, right? It was around 30 games he missed.
I mean, yeah, he only played 20 games last year. So I'll give PD, 10 games. He knows. I mean, he puts a lot of pressure on himself to succeed. And he knows that, I mean, if he struggles, the team's going to struggle. I mean, it's a great sign that Travis Hamonic's back at practice today. He went and played a couple games down in Abbotsford. Seems like he's ready to go. I'm sure he'll play with Hughes again, and he'll help the penalty kill. He's a poor man's Chris Tanev, so that should help the back end a lot. I've liked Oliver Ekman-Larsson. I think he's fit in pretty well. I haven't got to, out of 9 games, I think I've only watched 5 because I work on the weekends. So I didn't get a chance to watch the Oilers game on Saturday. But, I mean, yeah, the Canucks are 3-5-1. But the bright side about it is out of 4 of those 5 losses are only by 1 goal. Yeah. So, I mean, a power play goal here, a Patterson goal here, JT Miller goal here, we're talking about a different record. And that's the frustrating part about it is the Canucks are one shot away from either winning or tying games. And right now the puck's just not going in. It's early. I mean, a lot of fans are calling for Travis Green's head right now.
Is he on the hot seat?
I believe he is. I mean, because what other card does Jim Benning have to play?
Good point.
He already made the big trade at Arizona. They don't got much cap space. So really, that's the only card he has left in his fucking deck of cards.
Quite honestly, when I look at their roster their roster on paper looks solid.
Maybe a new voice is needed. I don't know. Maybe Green's lost the room. It's hard to say.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You don't know. I feel like it could be solved better. I feel like it could be solved without that. I don't know why I say that.
The Canucks could go out tomorrow against the Rangers and score 6 goals. Patterson has 3 points, and we're talking about a completely different thing.
Well, let's take a look at this. Okay, I looked 1 week ago, right? And Calgary was ranked in the NHL Network's power rankings as 22nd. 1 week ago.
Yeah.
And last week in their power rankings, when it came out on Sunday, they were ranked 3rd.
Well, yeah, they're 6-1. Course.
Well, I know, but seriously, like, either they didn't know what they were talking about 2 weeks ago, or they don't know what they're talking about this week. That's how much things can change in 1 week, though. That's what I'm getting at.
Like, you look at the analytics, Vancouver's the worst 5-on-5 team in the league, and yeah, of course, your fucking star players aren't scoring goals. Of course your offense is going to be bad 5-on-5 when you don't score goals. That's pretty common sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I'm just saying how quickly things turn.
I think they're going to turn around. Tough schedule coming up though, so we'll see. I think they got Colorado a couple times within the next week. Rangers. We'll be in there, see what happens.
As for the other team, Calgary, the team we thought would have a trouble scoring, has found a way to score on a nightly basis, and they're getting production from, you know, lots of guys. As Mangiapane's got 7, Lindholm's got 7, Gaudreau's got 2 goals and 9 assists, I believe, and he's been very, very good. And, you got guys like Tyler Pitlick and Blake Coleman who have yet to be on the ice when they've allowed a goal. It's crazy the quick change that we've seen, and you're getting probably the most elite goaltending Jacob Markstrom's ever put out in the National Hockey League. And when that happens, you're going to run off a 5-game road trip like Calgary did and vault themselves back up into first place and get talked about in a positive way, because it's scary. Literally 7 days ago, this team was just another team, and now everybody thinks they're the hottest team in the world. Now, I'm not quite... I need a little bit bigger sample size to say that. I think this team has put themselves in a very, very good position Because I think when you start out good, it's easier to maintain it than start out bad and try to have to get back into it. I think it's harder to get back into races. But this team's been really, really good. I mean, they've outscored their opponents 29-15 and 5-1 on the road. And yeah, all things look really, really good in Calgary.
Yeah. I thought they had an okay off season. I mean, but a lot of
unanswered questions.
A lot of them getting better was in house. I mean, Jacob Markstrom, is he going to bounce back and be the guy that he was signed to be? Is what kind of impact can a guy like Mihan Lucic have this year? He's been pretty good. Can Mangiapane take the next step? We've already seen him. He has 7 goals to start the season. Can Lindholm take another step? He's already shown that he can. What are we going to get in Johnny Gaudreau's contract year? What are we going to get from Sean Monahan? What can Blake Coleman give us as a top six guy? I mean, there's a lot of question marks, and right now they're answering those questions, and it'll be interesting to see if they can keep it going, because I mean, right now they're the fun hockey team to watch.
They're a fun hockey team to watch, and I mean, one positive is, you even got guys like Tkachuk and Monahan that aren't producing. So guys like Mangiapane and Lindholm are not going to be able to continue at this pace. So you just hope that when they start to tail off a little bit, maybe Tkachuk finds his game at that point and can carry this team. But
who does Mangiapane play with?
Mangiapane is on a line right now. It's being centered by Dylan Dubé. It's Mangiapane, Dubé, and I'm drawing a blank. What am I doing? I'm drawing a blank. I got Lindholm, Gaudreau, and Tkachuk on the first line. There's Backlund, Pitlick, and Coleman on the second line. Dubé, Mangiapane, and Richie on the third. And on the fourth, it's Monahan, Lucic, and Lewis. And there's been product. I mean, Lucic has got a couple. Monahan scored the game winner the other night, but Monahan's been pretty much non-existent. Well, Monahan
has 3 points in 8 games.
Yeah, he's been non-existent. He's playing fourth line, and then you got guys like, you know, Gaudreau's been really, really good with the puck this year and has set up Lindholm quite a bit, and it's just.
Mangiapane has 0 assists, so is that a little concerning?
Mangiapane is not going to continue at this rate. I mean
fuck, 7 goals in 8 games. It's hard to.
You're not going to keep that pace. I mean, if he can get 30 this year, is that not a win? I mean,
no, he's not scoring 30. Come on.
He's got 7, Blake.
Yeah, and like, didn't 3 of them come in 1 game?
Mm-mm. Two.
Didn't he have a hat?
No, he hasn't had a hat trick.
He had 4 goals in 2 games, though. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
4 of his goals came in 2 games.
Okay.
So, we'll see.
Well, we've only played 8.
It's something to keep an eye on for sure.
I mean, you just, when you're getting production like that, and look at how he was at the World Championships last year. He was the MVP. I mean, he's been really good. Now, I'm trying to calm the hype in Calgary because it's everybody, you know, they went from, this team's not making the playoffs, this team's winning the Stanley Cup, and you know how markets get like that, and it's just fun to have.
Toronto wins 1 game against Chicago in overtime, and
yeah.
Oh boy, Preds back on! It's back on!
Yeah, it's funny how, you know, you're only as good as your last 60 minutes, right?
Yep.
All right, time for 3 questions.
It's time for 3 questions.
All right, my favorite part of the show was it's my turn this week to fire 3 questions at Blake. And, yeah, I think I got some decent questions this week. I don't know. We'll find out. Question number 1. What team, good or bad, has been the biggest surprise for you this year?
It's got to be the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah.
Craig Anderson is playing like it's 2010.
It's kind of fun to watch him. He's a good story.
He's been so good. I went and picked him up in my fantasy league.
Did you really?
So
did that pain you?
Riding the hot hand right now. Riding the hot hand right now. It sucks that I have to go down to the waiver wire that bad to get a goalie.
Who did you have?
I didn't really like a lot of the goalies in early in my draft, so I was like, I'm not gonna go take like a Darcy Kemper in the second round.
Yep, no, I don't blame you.
So I ended up with Aiden Hill and Anton Hudobin. So right now I picked up Driedger off waivers, who's on the IR right now. So, and I got Craig Anderson. So it's a tough sled for the old goalies.
It's a tough sled for you right now. Holy shit.
But I'm 2-1 right now in my fantasy, so I'm doing all right.
You're treading water with that goaltending.
But I would say Buffalo.
I wouldn't disagree with you on that one. I would have to say Calgary, too, is one of them up there because I did not see this coming at all. And that's coming from a
Montreal
fan.
Montreal doesn't surprise me that they're this bad.
Nope, doesn't surprise me. Toronto doesn't surprise me. We talked about that. San Jose is one that's kind of – and even though they're stumbling, though, now. But
yeah, they're coming crashing down.
Yeah. But Buffalo seems to be treading water very, very well. All right, question number two. What are the three NHL websites you find yourself looking at the most?
Hockey Reference. I'm on that a lot, looking at like comparing players and so like Baseball Reference. Same thing for baseball. Obviously NHL.com. Honestly, I just use Twitter though.
Yeah.
Like Twitter for all my hockey news. I just go on Twitter.
Me too. I use Twitter
a
lot.
If there's something I look up, I just type in the name.
But there's two websites up that I frequent like almost daily. And that's
Cap Friendly.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah.
Cap Friendly every day.
And go to Puckpedia. That's a good site too. Okay. Puckpedia. It's good. Question number three. What is one thing that you want to learn more about when it comes to hockey?
I mean, with the position I'm in now, I'm in an office with both coaches, and they're always talking about drawing up plays and,
systems.
And whatnot. So it's systems, and you're learning. I mean, I was a goalie. I don't know fuck all about forwards and where they should be and defensemen and shit like that. So, I mean, it's pretty cool. Like, they bring in the power play and they draw it up on the board and we watch video in there and they're saying, oh, this guy. And it's really interesting to learn and, you know, I'm just like kind of soaking it all up and kind of being like a sponge and learning everything I can from those guys. And, I mean, they're kind of teaching me a kind of new perspective of the game that I really didn't know. And I'm starting to create like an open mind a little bit and, you know, okay, I didn't really see it from that perspective. And they're trying to drag the bias out of my soul.
Jesus, tell them good luck and my condolences.
Be a little bit more subjective and look at a new perspective about the Canucks. And
holy shit, these guys, I might have to send them a Christmas card.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, just like learning as much as I can because, I mean, there's so much stats and shit in hockey and stuff that you can learn. And like I said, there's so many different ways that you can watch a hockey game. And that's been good.
One thing I would like to learn more about, and it's not that I'm like oblivious to it, I just don't feel like I know it very well, and that's analytics. I need to figure out a way to. I need a dummy's manual on analytics. I'm still way more of an eye test. I'm still more of an eye test guy, but I've got to learn a little bit about it though, a little bit.
I do not care about Corsi and goals per 60 and like fuck. It's crazy.
I know. I know. I just feel like I feel like I at least owe it to the sport to like learn it. Yeah, I probably will never agree with it, but I feel like I need to learn it. Listener question comes from Megan Trixon from Boston, Massachusetts. And she writes, in light of the recent Chicago Blackhawks scandal, does this give warning to the NHL needs new leadership, and should Bettman go after this controversy?
I don't know how to answer that question.
I was the same way. And you know, I sat and looked, I'm like, why would Bettman go? Like, he had nothing to do with this. He didn't even know.
I don't know.
Do you think he did?
I don't know. I don't know all the facts.
You think he might have known, though, huh?
I think he might have known.
Yeah? I think it's okay to have an opinion on that.
I mean, if...
I hope he didn't. If,
I just look at it this way. If Kyle Beach says that he had many encounters with Donald Fehr in the NHLPA...
Oh, I think Donald Fehr's new for sure.
Don't you think that Donald Fehr and the NHLPA be in contact with the NHL about that?
I would hope they were. And you know what,
like,
though?
You're like, not, didn't, you're not doing
but,
your job.
But didn't Donald Fehr, like, let down Kyle Beach more than anybody?
Yeah, 100%.
As much as Stan Bowman, really. I mean, because I look at it as, you know, that's the representative the players go to. They go to their, you know, their general manager and the NHLPA, and if
Fehr... And your agent.
And your agent, too. But all three of those guys really let him down. Let him down. And I pray Bettman didn't know. I pray he didn't.
Be a terrible look if he did.
God, nothing.
Did you see the press conference today?
I did. You know what? There was a lot of like kickback and negativity about that. What was your thoughts?
It's very interesting how they tried to dodge Rick Westwood's question three times.
Which one? Fill me in.
Well, I mean, they went to Darren Dreger three times before they went to Rick Westwood. You didn't catch that?
I did, but I didn't know if they were just having audio troubles.
They only went to everybody once. They went to Darren Dreger three times. Isn't that a little sus?
Well, no, because they couldn't get his freaking mic out. See, I didn't think that. I didn't think that, but maybe no. I don't fill me in. Do you think there's more to that?
I don't know. Maybe the NHL didn't like how hard Rick Westwood went after getting this story out. I don't know.
No, I mean, there might be truth to that, Blake. I'm not. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah, that could be. I guess that's another perspective to look at, I guess, you know. Interesting. I hope we don't have to talk about that anymore. Next Monday, we are back with another live episode. I pray it's just hockey news this week. Just fun, good, hard-fought game stories and maybe a trade. God, wouldn't it be great if Eichel would get moved or something so we had something good to talk about there? And I don't want any more of this controversy, problems, and BS. Our condolences go out to everybody involved in any form of abuse. The season's off to a great start. We got to talk about good hockey, not negative stuff. The world sucks right now, and hockey's my escape. And when this bullshit gets into my escape, then I get a little frustrated. So don't forget, hockey fans, November is Hockey Fights Cancer Month. I'll have a link to donate on our webpage and on the link for this podcast. Please do what you can. Cancer affects so many in a negative way, and every little bit of a donation helps out with that, and we pray that you can do your part. Check out Inside Edge Hockey Media Group on YouTube. That's where you can subscribe to the Debate Hockey Podcast. Get on over to Apple Podcasts. Rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Enjoy this week's hockey action. We're back next week to talk a little bit more hockey. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey, and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars_Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at DebateHockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at debatehockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.